At 29, I found out that I owe the bank 40 million rand, and every day there will be somebody knocking, like coming to take the car, this and this. I got a job and they checked my credit record and they were saying, no, we can't hire you. So that degree got expired. I had nothing. And I was still waiting at 16 years.
Over the past 90 days, 87% of our views on Access Genie have come from people who aren't subscribed to our channel. By subscribing, you'll never miss out on all our latest episodes, expert interviews, expert advice, and valuable insights from entrepreneurs. Research shows that subscribing to your favorite podcast actually helps you stay informed, motivated, and ahead of industry trends. Don't miss out. Hit the subscribe button now to join our community of forward-thinking entrepreneurs. Hi, Genies. Thank you so much for coming back yet again to watch another episode of Access Genie, the podcast that opens doors to success in the world of entrepreneurship. Listen, if you're somebody who's made money and lost money and you want to learn how to make it again, this episode is for you. If you're a woman who believes in hard work and following your dreams, but you just don't know how to go about it, this conversation is for you. If you're somebody who perhaps just needs a little push and a nudge to the right direction, this conversation is for sure for you, because I'm joined by none other than Wusi Selosho. She is an incredible entrepreneur. She's a business coach. She's big on mindset. And this conversation is about to blow your mind. Thank you so much, Wusi, for joining us.
Thank you so much for inviting me. I'm so blessed. Of course, this is my favorite topic in the whole entire world. So when I got the invitation, I was like, yes, I'll do that.
Thank you
for inviting me.
Thank you, man. Like, I have been wanting you to come because I watch your content and I've read a lot about your journey and watched some of your interviews. And I'm like, what a dynamic woman. If people can pick themselves up from the places you've picked yourself up from, like, listen, yeah, that's just a recipe for winning. And I think that's something that people can really learn from this conversation we're about to have. But I want to just go back a little bit before we talk about the money losses and all of the success, and go back and chat about your childhood. I read somewhere that your entrepreneurial journey actually started when you were 6 years old.
Yeah. I mean, every time I get to tell that story, it's a weird story, because at 6 years, I lost my mom. It wasn't six, I think I was around about 5 and a half, just before I started school. And when that happened, I mean, when you are five, your thoughts are, I don't know how people at five think. I can't remember how I was thinking. But one thing that I knew at five, when the day when I heard that my mother passed, now that it was a very tragic thing, it happened in the most tragic way ever, like nobody should lose their parent like that. I mean, I haven't seen my mother's grave up to today. That's how tragic that was. But I got to hear about this while others were talking, that, you know, my mother had passed on. And I mean, no one had the chance at that point to come and talk to me about it yet. It was just like, you know, the talk around the home. And I remember going behind the house, and I went there and I sat down at 5 years, and I cried and I cried and I cried. And when I finished crying, I said to myself, I'm going to find money. Money is going to take care of myself. Of me, and mine is going to be my mother. So I don't know why at 5 years I thought, you just lost your mother, and I was thinking about money. So of course, after that day, it was very clear in my mind that I'm gonna make everything, I'm gonna do whatever it takes to take care of myself. That was the biggest thing. And then, of course, to make money, to have money. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, it started. And going to grade one, I was selling everything under the sun. I was selling sweets, peanuts, this and that. I would get to class. Luckily, God is amazing. I was so good at school. I didn't have to pay attention, but I would just get 100% on everything. I just needed to listen to the teacher while they are speaking. After that, I didn't have to do much. So I was, of course, confident, loved by people, talked too much, you know, that when the teacher leaves, I'm on top of the desks and, you know, I was so energetic and all of that. But I was selling like nobody's business. So I would sell my stock. Come short break, I finished selling my stock and I would go around to the other kids and I would say to them, you have stock? Why haven't you sold your stock? Give it to me. We will share the money at the end. So then I will literally be franchising the whole day.
Yeah.
So I then, of course, from there, I think I learned that, I mean, I am a healer. I'm always helping people with something. But I learned that at the time that people are always looking to buy something from somebody. If you can't do your own hair, you're going to get somebody who's going to do it. You can't do your own shoes, you're going to find somebody who's going to give you. You can't build a car, you're going to find somebody who knows how to build a car. You can't build a house, you're going to find somebody who's going to build a house. So I think I figured it out there that there is a whole entire system out there that is wanting me to help. And that's why I say to every entrepreneur, there is so many people who are waiting to buy from you for so many reasons. And if you're not selling anything, you're leaving the money on the table.
Yeah, if you're not selling anything, you're leaving money on the table indeed. So you say your mom had a tragic passing. How did she pass?
Oh, she had mental health, which is another thing that I'm always saving people from. Half of my family passed from mental health issues. So she had serious mental health issues. My two brothers had the same thing. So again, mental health was one more thing that I had to choose myself, a lot of people that I work with, they go to work and they already have mental health issues to a certain point, but then they get to toxic places. Then they lose their lives right there. You know, they get into toxic relationships. So my mother, of course, was the biggest billboard for me of how mental health can ruin somebody's life.
Yeah. So when did you get your money to get that stock at 6 years old, a grade one? And then you're like, okay, I'm going to buy this red sweet and this green ones because these are the ones that people are going to
like. I convinced my aunt.
Yeah.
I don't really remember what I said to her, yeah, but I remember me convincing her that this was going to be. So one of the things that happened was at 3 o'clock, almost every night at 3 o'clock, I wake up. So even then at 5 years, I will wake up at 3 o'clock, like this weird hour, like I just like jump out and just like I'm fully awake. So at that 3 o'clock hour, there used to be a bakery. There was a tuck shop at the back of my, because I was living with my aunt since my mother was not okay. So there will be this truck that is coming at 3 past 3 to drop off bread from the bakery.
Yeah.
So it will pass at 3 a.m. Now I will hear the truck. Sometimes I will wake up before the truck gets there. Other times I will wake up and I'll hear the noises of the guys offloading the truck. So they will do that. Almost every night I'll have this 3 o'clock thing. They are dropping off the thing. And then I said to my Mamkulu, I want to sell biscuits. And this guy that comes at 3 a.m. every morning, Bayaga Shezi, a store, I want to buy from the, because I've gone there and I bought the pack and I sold it, but I didn't make so much profit.
Yeah.
So now I wanted to buy from the source. And I'm like, I want to go in. But she's like, 3 o'clock, you're going to be outside buying what? Yeah. The truck. So she was like, no, it's not going to happen. Yeah. You're not waking up at 3 o'clock. Why are you up anyway?
Yeah.
So then I think I used that to convince her to give me money to go to the metro, which was like probably like 3-4 kilometers, 5 kilometers away. And there was never transport then. And she didn't want me to go there. So I promised her I would find somebody to go with them. But she gave me the money. So then I found a way to sneak out and walk all that 5 kilometers and come back with my sweets.
Yeah. So what would you do with all of that profit at that time early on?
I'll buy more.
Yeah. Reinvesting into the business.
I did that. So, of course, then there I'll buy myself this and that and things that I needed, like lunch money. That was mostly it because school was far. So where I was schooling, it wasn't the closest school in the village. I was going to a further school. So other kids would come back for lunch at their homes because their schools were close, but I couldn't. So mine was further. So that was all the smaller yana things that I needed that, you know, you would just ask your parents for. But then since there wasn't anybody, and I didn't want to be a problem in this home, which is one of the things that I grew up as, like, I needed to be a top performer because I needed to use that for leverage.
For leverage, yeah. How did growing up in such an environment and in the village and having to hustle from a young age for yourself impact who you are and your personality?
No, I mean, it wasn't nice. It was a lot of, I mean, I grew up in a, it was a lot of trauma. It was a lot of not being sure about who I am, what's going on. And I think that, you know, I do a lot of spiritual talks around money and the money energy. And I've seen people who have been given big things to carry this, to carry it in through their lifetime. Most of those people did not have the most easiest childhood. Now, I also didn't have one. And it shaped me. I mean, so many things happened in my childhood that today, I mean, earlier on this morning, I was talking to my daughter and I was just showing her how, what she can achieve. You know, we were having a weird conversation around TikTok and who's on TikTok. And I was telling her, you know what, TikTok normally sends me a weekly message and says, I've been on TikTok the whole week for 1 hour. She's like, oh, mama, the whole week, 1 hour. What are you, why? I'm like, no, I just go on TikTok to post a video. I mean, I don't have the time. I fall asleep before anything can happen. I am hard at work. I mean, I run many businesses. I don't have the time to sit on social media for any other reason. And she was just shocked of how, because she's like, 1 hour a week, like we're doing. Hey,
8, 9 hours, 12 hours a day.
Yeah, like so. Yeah. But growing up under hard conditions taught me discipline. I still think I can be a little bit more disciplined, you know, like what am I eating, what and what. But I think I have resilience. So a lot of the challenges that we face in life, and now hence I've been a coach for 12 years now. People who can handle and be resilient, they're the ones who are going to win. In this world, there is 10% high-value people. And the rest, they are accompanying the 10%. Now, the 10%, if you can face challenges and be strong no matter what happens in those challenges, you're going to be the high-value people, the 10%. You're going to be financially free. You're going to have all the things. And then there is, of course, the 1%, which are living in abundance. But the 10% are those financially free people, which I don't have to think about how much money am I making every month. I don't have to think about who I need to pay. All the thing happens automatically. I just have to think about my calling. I just have to think about who am I impacting, whose life am I impacting. So if you're going to be on the top 10% of high value people in the planet, you've got to make sure that you're wearing your big girl panties and you putting them nicely up there, and you are not scared. You do not back down, no matter what happens. So once you are 35, you cannot blame your childhood. Now, your childhood does affect you every single day until you die. But at 35, cutoff date for you crying about what happened. At 35, you have the right to heal. So, I mean, again, I teach a lot of spiritual work because it's important to me. 7 years, there's a certain passage you pass. 14 years, you pass another passage. 21, you pass another passage. 28, you pass another passage. At 35, that's the last passage that you pass. If you're a woman, your whole entire womb area has fully developed. Your whole brain system has fully developed. Your spiritual strength has fully developed. You can't blame anybody. So I'm over 35. I can tell you what my childhood did to me. Messed up me in so many ways. But I don't have a right to blame it.
Because you've had enough time to learn and change and adjust and know exactly who you are and who you're supposed to be, which is really, really important. And after, you know, high school, you went on to study IT and get into the world of work, you know, excelled everywhere there in the stuff that you were touching. Like you said, you're resilient and you'll go for what you wanted. When did you realize that you didn't have a healthy relationship with money back then?
Oh, yeah. It happened literally when I found myself in 40 million rand debt. I was 29 at that time. And how it happened that I found out, well, of course, I had gone through several businesses, learned how to go to the bank and ask them for all the money I need. And they always gave it to me. So again, today, that's another important skill that I bring to the world. I help people go to banks and find money, go to look for investors, find capital. That's my biggest thing in my business. I really help business owners find the capital they need. But I learned it through that process. So at 29, I found out that I owe the bank 40 million rand. And I mean, I've been asking. I mean, they gave me all this money. I've been asking and I've been building. Now, I find out that, well, as 40 million rand, I got sequestrated. So when you get sequestrated, you lose everything. They take everything you have. They leave you with the clothes you are wearing. And then, of course, you have to go through a rehabilitation process, which takes about 12 to 16 years, depending on how the rehabilitation is working with you. But then, just before, at the moment when that happened, so there were people who were coming to to take the stuff, the people who had come to collect the things. So there was one guy repossessing. Yes, every day there will be somebody knocking, like coming to take the car, this and this. And then at some point you leave the house. So there's somebody who came. This guy was, you know, those big bouncers coming to fetch a car, of course. And then he was with a lady. And this lady, luckily for me, she was a life coach at that time. And she said to me, you know what? I feel so sorry for you. I just feel like I need to give you a free session. Come talk to me. I had never heard of a life coach. This is a long time ago. I've never heard of a life coach. I'm thinking, what is this? She says, come for free. I'm like, well, I don't have money. I might as well go. I go to her. She then sits and listens to the story. I'm telling her how I got to 40 million rand debt. I tell her what's going on right now. At the end of the story, she just looked at me. She said, you know what, Busi, you don't have a problem with money. You have a problem with the relationship you have with money. And I thought, what? Now I need to have a relationship with money? That was the first time I knew that, because she told me, she's like, literally in 3 months, you'll be back making money. And it didn't look like that. When you're sequestrated, you can't have credit whatsoever. You can't have a job. I had an IT degree that I got a job and they checked my credit record and they were saying, no, we can't hire you. So that degree got expired. I had nothing. And I was still waiting at 16 years for this to be cleared up. Tell you what, I bounced back. Of course, this lady knew that I don't have a problem with man. I just have a bad relationship with man. I bounced back. My rehabilitation was so short. But of course, in those years, working through the years of rehabilitation and not having to have any ability to get any debt, I learned how to buy a car cash. I learned how to buy a house cash. I learned how to really make the money that I have as a DNA in me, and which all of us do, but we just not understanding what it is that we have. We know we are greater than this. Now, I got a chance to really find out what I'm greater than, because then there was nobody was going to pick me up now.
Yeah. How does a 29-year-old get into 40 million rand?
Oh, it's very easy.
Yeah. Is it? When I think about it, I'm like, what do you even do with 40 million?
No, I am a daring person. I do push a lot of buttons, like further. Mm-hmm. So hence I'm saying, if you say to me you need 5 million rand, I will push every button. I'll come back with the 5 million. Mm-hmm. So I do push a lot. I don't take no for an answer. Yeah. And I think growing up in those kind of circumstances, they taught me never to take no for an answer. Like, you must give me another solution, but you can't say no.
Yeah.
So, of course, I know how to go to the bank and ask for money. So, but then the other thing is that if you're going to borrow money from the bank, you need to ask for a lot. If you ask for small money, they don't give it to you. So I literally run workshops now where I teach women how to go and ask for money. And everybody's shocked because they come back with it.
Yeah.
But of course, I have to do a workshop and teach them what not to do with the money. Yeah. Because
what did you do with that 40 million? How did you get into that?
Let me just give you a few of the businesses that I did.
Okay.
First business was in IT because I had studied IT. So I, first business was in property. I bought a whole lot of properties and I was renovating them, selling them. Worked so much better. I used to make like 500K a week. I just knew what color to paint the roof, what plants to plant outside. I didn't care if the house was going to fall or what, but the bank would just take them house high, and then I'll make my money. So I'll renovate whatever I need to renovate just to increase the value of the home, and then I will sell it again. Then quickly, there was 2008 recession. That business died. Then I was left owing the bank a whole lot of money. Then second business, I went back to the bank and I said, oh, bank, you know, I've been doing great. So let's do this. Give me money. I want to start an IT business. I started an IT business. Part of it was this big internet cafe in Sunnyside, Pretoria. I filled it up with computers. It was a hall. Filled it up with biggest internet cafe in Sunnyside at that time. And then, there was so many of my Nigerian brothers. They were there. They were doing business. They would pay for a seat for the whole month. So they were running their offices and they were giving people money online. They were telling them how they are marrying them next day. I mean, I saw everything. Yeah. I know every scam that these people run online. I saw each and every one. And they were paying me good money. One day, of course, I walked in and I found that everything was stolen. No computer, no printing machine. It was clean. Went to the police station. The police said, ma'am, do you know who took your stuff? And I said, no. They said, we can't help. We don't know also. It was over. Unfortunately, I had not done an MBA. I had no insurance. So, of course, I lost everything. So, after that, I went into trucking. Of course, there would be something that happened. So, I kept going back to borrow more money to start another business, until the bank was like, ay, bo. What is this? Yeah. And then.
So, tell me, take me back to that day where the pin drops like, shoo, gisenkinge and gemanje, and they're going to come and repossess and take stuff. And what was going through your mind in that moment?
Now I don't know really. There is literally a God out there and he looks out for some people. Because, yeah. I was probably not somebody that, you know, I should get that kind of an advantage. But when that happened, and of course, like I said, in my family, there's a whole track of mental health. Like, you know, people with mental health, they get triggered quite easily. So there I was, just found out that I'm going to lose. I was so excited. I was relieved. Actually, that's the word. You know why? Because going through this process, remember, it's not just like one day you're losing stuff. So you've been losing things. And now I have been trying to act as if things are going right. I've been faking it. And it's the faking it until you make it wasn't working. So remember when I finished school, I went and got a job. I worked only for 3 years in three different companies and I found out that this was a toxic environment that is not for me. Well, it wasn't, let's say it wasn't toxic. It was me who wasn't supposed to be there. Mm-hmm. So I had gone and found an IT job 3 times and I thought something was wrong first with them. Then I went and I saw that it was me definitely who's got something wrong. And then, of course, then I had to quit and then went into business, which was, in my family, nobody has ever done this. So it wasn't something that my family members knew how to support me through it. They were just like, no, just keep the job. And then my friends and whoever, the social community that I had, they were like, oh, we give you 3 months and we shall see. Well, now you think you are special. You're going to leave a job because you are stressing. You don't like, oh, no, the next thing was, I don't like the job. Why are you leaving a job? Because I don't like it. Wow. You're going to leave a job because you don't like it. What do you think you are? So from that day on, I had this whole thing on my shoulders that I need to prove that I'm making it. So as things go by, I lose one business. I start another one. I lose this one. I start another one. But these were not my callings. I lose another one. I start another one. I lose another one. And I'm trying to keep up with the, I am actually a businesswoman and it's working. Oh, no, it's not working. No, I'm not in my calling. No, I can make money, but no, this is not me. And I just think God was just trying to show me that, no, you're clever, but not like that. So the day that happened, I slept throughout the night. And I was like, oh, finally, I don't have to go out there, act like things are fine. If I'm going to lose everything, now everybody's going to know. But then the weirdest thing, I thought that the people close to me would sort of understand. No, they didn't. So one, that really was painful. So of course, my closest family member, they don't have a choice. They just have to deal with my craziness. It is what it is. Of course, I married my husband, had to deal with it. Mtanabantu, be careful who you marry, because damn, be careful who you marry. Other people
you can find
like
yourself
me,
in 40 million.
People like
debt.
Me are not safe. Don't marry them. So now, those were, they had to deal with me. I am Mbabu. There's nothing they can do about that. But people that are in the social system, that's when I found out that people actually were looking, the older people were actually... Like, damn. So at church, my pastor said, oh my goodness, the mighty has fallen. He literally had a whole entire, like, the mighty has fallen. So I bought this old Mercedes-Benz. You see these old ones. Apparently, they have a name. They call them. My father was once rich. So all my cars were taken away. Then I just like to buy something to walk, you know, drive around with. The pastor was making a joke about the fact that I bought that car when he was the one who was enjoying my other cars. Now that so I was shocked how people actually like were waiting for this to sort of unfold. I mean, I'm not sure why, but again, when you are in it, people are not coming with you. You're gonna go by yourself. So, but I was relieved. And then, of course, then I saw the drama that unfolded, like the whole church thing and all of that. But again, Nakona, I'm glad that happened, because it opened my eyes, because I thought church was like your home and everybody loved you. And, you know, I mean, I was doing so much work at church. I was the one who was collecting the offerings. I will make sure everybody gives. I was, you know, but that those things don't work when you are in trouble. They tell you, we will pray for you. Bye-bye. So I found out that not everything that I thought was, it was like that. So again, I learned how to trust me, to believe in me, and not put anybody in that space. So again, I was happy. I finally was out. The secret was out. And one thing I knew was that I remember talking to myself again, just like when I was 5 and my mother had passed. I remember saying to myself, after this, I'm not scared what I lose anymore. Because I had lost so many businesses and I tried to make them work. Just one after the other one. And I was like, at this point, I don't care what I lose after this. If I ever lose something, I'll go and chill under a bridge. And I chose my bridge. I said, I went that throughout. I said, you bridge. If ever things go wrong, I'll be here. I chose a bridge in Pretoria. There's a bridge when you drive out to Mamelodi. Under there, there's a McDonald's. That bridge. I was like, that's my bridge. I chose it. I was just like, I'm going to be. Because one of the things I found out when I went through that life coaching with that lady was that I had a limiting belief of the fact that I might lose it all. So the worst thing that I had always, it was in my back of my mind, happened. I lost it all. So I was like, okay, fine. If there's any other limiting beliefs like this one, and one says I'm scared of sleeping on the bridge. Actually, I'm not. Bridge, me and you are fine. I'm okay. Since that day, I've never lost anything again. But I had to work through those fears. And the fact that my other limiting belief was that I don't know what I'm doing, which was like, my family has never done this. This is like, nobody believed in me. I was just pushing it. I was like, no, fuck. Now I'm happy. I'm going to do what I want to do with life. And if it doesn't work out, I'll sleep under a bridge. I'm fine. I got over those fears. So many of them. Hence, I wrote a book called Money and Black People, Why Black People Don't Have Money. And I've put those fears for somebody that is like me, who has gone through so much, and you still don't understand. Why am I not figuring this thing out? Why do I keep failing? I have done this book, the most important, this drama about my life and how I got into 40 million rand. But at the back of the book, I've done a 30 days money mindset program where I show you what you are doing wrong internally, in yourself, in your soul, so that you can figure it out. Because the moment you, I had to just have a talk with me and say, I'm not scared of losing anymore. It stopped. I've never lost anything since then. I've acquired so much. I was losing businesses like nobody's business. Like every year I was starting another business. Every year a business would work and then it would fail. Now I've never had a failing business since then. But I had to look this fear in the face, because now I knew what it was.
Yeah.
And talk to it and say, by the way, I'm no longer scared of you. I know you are here. So that is one of the things. I got to be free from the lie of I'm successful when I'm not. I got to start afresh. I got to face my biggest fear ever. And I got to tell those biggest fears, if you chill, you chill. If you don't, I don't care anymore. I know you. We are friends. We are best friends. I'm going to make friends with you. And you can't traumatize me one more time. I can't lose another business one more time.
Yeah.
And that was the biggest thing that has ever happened to me. Losing 40 million rand changed my life. I started a healing process I didn't know I needed.
Yeah. And how did all of that impact your marriage?
Oh! So, I think I was lucky because I met my husband at first year university. So he was just a nobody. I was a nobody. So, I mean, we're going through this. And I mean, I'm doing the whole thing. I'm telling him, today we're doing this. Today. Today we lost the money. Damn, today we lost the money. Yes, we lost the money. So, that was a good thing about it, because we were together in it. I was making the decisions every day. He saw it coming, probably. He probably saw it coming. So we had built this thing together. So when it was falling apart, it was like, oh well, the thing that we built is falling apart.
So how did you guys get out?
Oh yeah, so of course, now I had to make a plan. Hence I'm like, that day when all of this was out there, I found peace. That's why I'm saying to people, when something is hard in your life, walk away. You will find peace. I found peace. And when you found peace, you gain strength. You can think straight now. So, of course, I made a plan. First plan, well, that lady was there, my first plan. She said to me, oh, I went to look for a job. The job, they told me I can't have a job. So I was like, oh, wow, that is no longer a plan. So, you know, when they say you must have education, you'll fall back on. No, it's a lie. It doesn't work. So I found out this education thing is not going to work because nobody's going to hire me. Remember, education, you need somebody to hire you. Okay, so then I was like, okay, what's plan B? Luckily, lady showed up and she took me through this process and she showed me what was wrong with me. I'm so grateful for that. Hence, I became a coach. Hence, today I help people understand what's wrong with them. My biggest ever thing that when I wake up in the morning, how I am here in this podcast is just for to keep spreading the word. It's not you. You are not stupid. It's not you that the economy is down. No, no, no. There's no economy. I made so much money during COVID. When everybody was going around saying there's no money, I made way more money than ever. It's not the economy. It's not the pandemic. It's not. It's your energy. You just need to understand that. So now, going through all of this, coming back to the fact that at this point, I have acquired so much knowledge about what I did, which I always thought was the business thing. Now I meet this lady. This lady, she shows me the other part, my subconscious mind, because I've done a lot. Now my subconscious mind, I never knew that was, it was actually putting 90% of the, it was carrying 90% of if I succeed or not. If your subconscious mind is not in it, you are not going to make it, no matter how hard you work. So I then got this coaching session. Then after the coaching session, I found out that I was good at sales and marketing. I was good with people. I have this calling of helping people. If I'm helping people, I'm going to make it. So all these things, I didn't know I had them. And it didn't cost me money to be in sales and marketing. The first thing I did, how I come out of that, I went and I got myself a sales job. Now, again, they couldn't give me a sales job. So what needed to happen was, I said to them, let me sell. If I sell something, you will just give me a thank you. But other than that, you can't hire me much. So thank me. They were shocked. 2 months later, I was the highest salesperson in that company. I was earning more than the general manager because of commission. And I was hired in no time. So I started again from scratch. And of course, the lady had said, don't go and start a business. In about 3-4 months, I think I'd quit that job again. I was back in business. I found another one. So that's how we come out. I made a plan.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what was that business now? Health and safety, occupational health and safety. Now, again, it was something that I had known from nowhere. I started IT. But then now, remember, after I went through this process, hence I had to write the book. After I've went through this process, I knew exactly who I was. I was about helping people. For some weird reason, while I was doing sales, I went into this company in Pretoria in the manufacturing side of, and I got into this company. There was guys that were working there. One of them had like crocodile skin that was gray. And then I asked, what is wrong? They said, oh no, we work here, this machine, what happened? Occupational health and safety. They didn't follow through. So he got this cancer now. I was like, what? Is this even allowed in the country? They're like, yeah, no, there's something called occupational health and safety. So yeah, the company is not compliant. What? I was like, damn. I went home. I was like, that's my next business.
Yeah.
And then, my husband was like, what? I was like, I'm quitting that job. I'm starting a business in what? Health and safety. Oh, wow. So I was onto that. And then that was my big break. Literally meeting somebody. But now I knew who I was. I was somebody who was out there. So I created this amazing program, took it to the mine, saved them lives. They paid me, worked. So, but then, I mean, right now I run a security company. How I started a security company was the weirdest thing again. But again, I know I'm about helping. So anything that has to do with helping somebody, it will work. I mean, day one doing gun training, I was hitting the sport. I was basically I'm a killing machine. And everybody was like, oh, you are lying. I was like, I've never seen a gun till today. I've never touched one before, but I had found out, I mean, now today, because of course I do astrology and I found out my past lives, I was a soldier in one of my past lives. So I knew how to work the gun. And I just remembered when I was in that moment, I remembered how to shoot a gun, and it happened quickly. But of course you take a lot of spiritual work to be able to quickly link up to all these things. But yeah, basically, when you find your calling, you fix everything in your life.
Yeah. You say your book is about why Black people don't have money. Why is it that Black people don't have money?
It's a mindset. We were taught, we were initiated in not having money. Because if we don't have money, it serves whoever wanted us to not have it.
Mm.
Then you can't do anything. You have to say yes, boss, yes, boss, yes, boss. Yeah. You know what is bus, right?
Yeah.
Oh. No, my daughter did not know.
Oh, really?
No. Yeah, well, I'm a 2000.
Yeah, I'm a 2000. No, I know. I'm a 90s baby. I know what a bus is for sure. So now in this journey that you're in doing coaching work and helping people find themselves, you speak a lot about spirituality and past lives. How do you connect that? And how does someone get to know, oh, in my past life? Because I suppose faith and stuff also play a role in that.
Yeah, so remember, we are a soul and we are not here for fun. Every soul that makes it to this planet, beings that are out here in the universe are way, way, way bigger. The Earth is a dot. Mangabu hambu yobuga in geography and all of that. They say Earth, they are showing a dot. The universe is so huge. So there are beings and there's so many. Well, I mean, this is planets. How many? And there's so much happening in the universe. But we are just like this small dot right there. And this planet is one of the most high vibrating planet. That's why all beings keep coming here. And we get to meet them every day when we sleep. We go to the fourth dimension in our dreams, where we meet with all sorts of things. And then if you come to my ayahuasca ceremony, you go to the fifth dimension, then you literally have conversations with those beings and everything else. Okay, let's leave that alone.
I'm like, what? Are we talking like what's happening?
So, I mean, yeah. You know, suffering will make you know things you shouldn't be knowing, right?
Yeah.
So, but coming back to this business issue, your soul decided that this planet Earth is the most high vibrating planet. Here we've got free will. So other beings, once you are out of your body, you don't have free will anymore. You are told what to do, when to go, who to talk to in your spiritual state. You don't have a free will anymore. So if you were angry with me while you were alive, once your spirit is out of the pot, you can't be angry with me, even if you wanted to. It's not going to work. Your free will is taken away with the body. But the moment you get a body, you have reached the highest. You are in soft life mode. So now you choose what to do with your body. You can choose whatever you want to do. Now, because of that, souls that are special and they need a little bit more experience, or they need to learn serious things, are given the chance to come and occupy a body. So that's why you'll be like, why is the child 3 years and getting raped? There's a big reason behind all the things we get to experience because of what the soul has asked for. Now, the soul can decide to come back here many other times for different reasons, which again, I'm not going to go into because it would take the whole week explaining this. Now, of course, I've got a YouTube channel where I talk about these things, Busi Celestial, so yes. Now, when the soul is here and is getting things done, is implementing what it's here for, we then have a certain specific spiritual rules and regulations that we have to follow. So there's one spiritual law that we all know, gravity. If you stand on top of this house and you throw yourself down, what's going to happen? Gravity is not going to ask, oh, mommy, you didn't know about me. You didn't know that I existed. No, sorry, you're going to break a leg. You will have to be taken to hospital if you survive it. So the souls understand these technicalities of spirituality, which we sort of get along, like the law of attraction. Like the law of cause. There's so many spiritual laws that we live by on a daily basis. But just because we have not been taught at school how these laws work doesn't mean that they don't function. So when the soul comes here, the soul understands what are these laws, but the soul has a purpose. So if you, that's normally what we'll call a calling or yeah. Yes, your passion. When you enter that field, then the soul becomes revitalized. It's awakened. When you get that awakening, it seems like now your path, no matter what is in it, you are now aligned, you are in alignment with all this, the laws of the universe. Now you can be on high speed. And that's when people will be like, overnight success, this and this. Because your soul is now happy because now you are on the program. And then whenever you decide to take a detour, which we do, all of us, all the time, you take a detour, the soul is like, damn, child, why? And then now you start losing money, you get into toxic relationships, things go wrong in your life. You took it at all from this plan you came here for.
How do people find that plan that they're here for so that they know they're on the right path and not taking detours?
Oh, there are many ways. Number one, all of us have intuition, but we never use it. We were told not to use it. It's not good for us to use it. Of course, somebody who said that knew that if we have that, you know, on flick, we will be able to survive everything and everything. But then, I mean, the quickest and best thing to use is your intuition. Number two, there's astrology. Astrology literally calculates the time you took your first breath. Date, time, place, we calculate them, it's a math thing, physical thing. We calculate geometry and all of these things. And we can literally know what will happen when, according to the script. So astrology, you can calculate the day you're dying. You can know it. Now, will insurance be able to make money? Of course not. So nobody wants to talk about these things, because it doesn't pay some other people's bills when we talk about them. But there's so many ways to find out your path. And then you choose if you want to follow it or not.
Yeah, that's absolutely incredible. If someone was sitting here with you and saying, listen, help me and coach me. So I want us to do some sort of mock for everybody who's watching. See, I'm looking out for you. This is a free session for you. So let me give you a fictitious person based on the kinds of comments that we get on the podcast and the kind of things that people say on the podcast. Let's say this is a woman who has tried it all in her mid-30s, 3 children, not married, not job, and they show up every day and they try and try and try, but nothing appears to fall into place and it's like just struggle and living a life of struggle. How would you coach that kind of person in that situation so that they can be able to come out of the struggles that they're in?
So mostly that person might have not found what makes them tick, what makes them happy. Now remember, there's a vibrational scale. You can be at 1%, or you can be at 100%. So let's say 50%, below 50%, you are in a low vibration, so negative vibration, let's say, and then above 50, let's say you're in a positive vibration. Okay, now the problem is this: whatever you want to do, whatever greatness you want to do, but you are below the positive vibration scale. So let's say you're at 20% or 30%, things don't work when you're in a low vibration. That's why we go to church every Sunday to try and lift our vibration. That's why people go to Bosangoma to try and lift their vibration. Once you are above 50, 60, 70, you don't need anybody because your vibration is high. You can connect with your creator directly. You don't need anybody to help you raise your vibration. You can raise your vibration for yourself, or you can get somebody to help you. Now, that lady, if she has not found what makes her tick, she's going to be going to a job she hates. When you go to a job you hate, your vibration goes down and down and down and down. But if you're in a job you love, I came here, I said to you, I had a golf tournament. I wanted to die the moment I sat on this. I wanted to sleep the moment I sat on this couch. You said to me, oh my goodness, you're going to need coffee. You are falling asleep. Didn't, when the camera started rolling, I came back. Because I know this is my calling. I've done this work half dead. And people still didn't notice that I was almost dying. There's never a day where I was sick, I couldn't do this. So, but that's the thing. You saw how I was feeling. You were looking at me, you were thinking, my goodness, what am I doing with this person, right? But I knew that once I start working, the energy is going to lift me up. I'm not doing this for myself. So when she finds what makes her tick, what is her purpose, what is her calling, doesn't matter if she's got 15 children. It doesn't matter if she doesn't have a husband. She probably doesn't need one once she finds a calling. So you find your vibration when you find the things that makes you tick. And then from that on, nothing's standing on your way. Your soul takes you to the next step.
Yeah. And how do you find the things that make you tick?
You have to do the work. That is what everybody doesn't want to do, the work. You have to heal. Remember I said to you, when I finally got away from keep losing money, I had to deal with my demons. Somebody had to show me my demons, because at that point there was no way I could see them. So that's why you have to go to a coach. That's why people come to me, because then I can sit with them. And I mean, I could do it in the spiritual way where I read their energy, or I could do them in the mental way where I sit them in a coaching session. But then at that moment, we find out why you haven't been winning. Why have you been starting businesses and you have not been winning? Why have you been trying to find a job and not finding one? Why have you been trying to get into a relationship and you keep finding all the wrong people for you? Why? Once we know why, then you can face those demons, which is then the work of healing those things. The moment you heal it, the devil runs away immediately. It's over. Once you know what is wrong, it's over.
Yeah. And I know people who are watching are like, Ansela, you're not asking the question. Busi said that she can help people get money, investors, or get money from the bank, etc. How do we walk into banks and be able to convince them to give us funding that we need for our ventures, or convince investors?
So I normally do workshops. They're almost close to nothing. The next workshop is on the 21st. I teach women that. So what? One thing is this. If you are above the age of 35, the bank trusts you more. The system of the bank trusts you more, let's say, because it's not the human being there. It's a system that works. It's been made to trust you more. If you are a woman, the system trusts you way more. Why? Women, over and over and over and over and over, it's been proven that when they get money to start a business, they actually do start a business. They don't give it to, you know, drama. And number two, they bring it back. Number three, they pay quicker. Number four, they actually impact the community. Anywhere you go, each study you can, all over the world, Goldman Sachs have that standard. You give your money to a woman, you saved it. You will find it more. So you are 35. You are a woman. You have children. Oh, it's right there. That formula is sorted. And then, of course, you've got something that you can prove that you love it. Easy, right?
Yeah. So what do you say when you get there? You just list those things and you're like,
No, mama, you have to know there's more to that. I'm just letting you, I'm just letting you tick the first
button. The first button. Maybe tell us then about this session that you're going to have on the 21st. That
21st of September. Yeah. It's in Centurion Eco Park. So I gather women and I show them how to make the money without having to, go through too much. Specifically, you know, when you're starting a business, you don't even need to go and borrow money. Most of the money you need for you to start day one, you already have it. So you need to use that one. And sometimes it's not money you need, but you have what it takes to start a business without one rent. I've done it too many times. Once you have started a business and it's working and it's functioning properly, you know what is happening, you know what you shouldn't be doing and what you do, then you want funding. That's when we say we only use the bank's money, don't use your money. So now I gather women and I show them the steps to do this. Yeah, 21st we have a session, so the ladies must come.
Yeah, for sure. I'll put your social media handles, etc., so people can check it out and be able to buy tickets and come. When we finish this podcast, we like to play what we call Fast Five. I ask you five fast questions that you can answer in a sentence, in a phrase, or even in just one word. Are you ready?
Ah.
This is one of my favorite parts. So what have you had to unlearn to be able to grow your business and yourself to the point where you are now?
Don't be scared. I always teach the ladies that I coach, be a fearful call. Walk in a room and take over. Either you feel like it or you don't feel like it. It's here. Set it up.
What's one tool that you think every entrepreneur needs?
Your mindset. Everything is there.
Yeah. Incredible. And if you were to write another book right now, what would the book be about?
Such a hard question. I thought it'd be about money. Yeah. That's the one thing God gave me.
Yeah, about money.
Yeah, like I love talking about money. I can... People, when they come and ask me money questions, I want to answer all their money questions. Don't ask me about how to find a man. I don't know.
Yeah.
But if you ask me about money, I will tell you what.
Yeah. And what do you want to be remembered for?
Helping.
Helping people. And finally, if you had the opportunity to talk to your mom right now, what would you say to her?
I'll tell her, hey, I made it, by the way. Look at me. No, I just be like, you know what? Don't worry. I've made it.
Yeah, you've figured it out. You did. Thank you so much. I feel like this was so short. We need to have you back and talk more about money.
Yeah, more money, right?
And more about money and more things. Mm. But I'm sure that we'll have many opportunities to that. I promise I'll bring Busi back onto the podcast. Thank you so very much for watching. I hope this really fills up your cup and gives you the energy and the motivation and the guts that you need to go and follow your dreams. Thank you so much for watching. And without any further ado, I want to take this moment to also thank our studio partner, Photographers Galore, right here in Sharon Lee in Randburg. If you're looking for a studio to create content, take pictures, videos, whatever it is that you want to do, this is a studio for you. How beautiful is it? Can you see? And in the lighting, it comes with the studio. Absolutely stunning. Thank you so much for watching. Until next week.